More you talk now.
It's Steve from You Talk and Katie.
Hello, everybody.
Katie, we've got a show tonight. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be very fun. We have two special guests on the show tonight, not just one, so we have double the fun.
That's a first.
It is.
It's a first for You Talk.
Yes, and our special guests are very talented guys. They're actors, writers, directors, musicians. I mean, these guys sound like they do it all.
They do, I think, you know.
And their latest project just happens to be a book that they wrote together.
So now they've jumped into being author with all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and their book that we're going to talk about with them tonight, their brand new book, is called Mandy's Pet Shop, a pet shop for monsters.
No, yes, I want a monster. So maybe they can tell me how I can get one and have it here at home. I think they're waiting to come on. Zach and DC.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
What's up? Can you see us both okay? I think it's
good. Yeah, this is cool. Thank you for taking time to be with us. We're excited about your new project. The big question is, okay, you're writers, you're directors, musicians, actors, and the list goes on and on and on.
He makes it sound so good.
I know.
Seriously, a book, Mandy's Pet Shop, a pet shop for monsters. I love it. Scary fun, scary times. Where did this come from?
Man, it's an idea we've definitely had for quite a while. I mean, it's inspired by definitely our two sisters, I guess, is the first one we have to bring up. You know, Mandy herself is inspired after our two sisters. DC, you can tell them a little bit about your sister.
Yeah, my sister, she actually does have red hair and freckles. the actual illustration was somewhat based off of her as a kid, but she's she does occupational therapy for children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so it was really a cool experience. We got to actually partner with her, and she's doing book readings there at the office to teach SEL, which is for social emotional learning for little kids. And we've actually been talking with the Autism Speaks group, and they're, you know, looking at the book to do something with it. But mainly it was, I guess, the inspiration behind it was, you know, everything once this pandemic kind of happened, kind of shut down in our world, like all of the arts, you know, productions. Live music shut down. I mean, everything. And we...
Filming everything.
Everything. So we were like, we kind of had this extra time, and me and Zach were talking for, I mean, months about this idea that we're like, yeah, we want to do it. We just got to find the time. And then, boom, this happened, and it was like, well,
it's kind of no-brainer.
Now's the time.
I love monsters, and a pet shop for monsters was just something we both came up with together that we thought was really inspiring and really fun. Yeah. We're big fans of Dr. Seuss. I mean, I grew up with Dr. Seuss, so if you look, it definitely has a rhyme pattern and a rhythm that, you know, that fits that as well. So I think all that came
but
in.
It's so random. Stop for monsters. I mean, it's just out of nowhere. Now, Zach, did your younger sister have something to do with the monster thing?
Or I mean, my sister Lucy is very creative, and she's also, she does animation. So I think my inspiration for that is I've always just thought she was super creative. So I knew if we made a book, it was going to have to be something that had a very creative take to it. And we both enjoy pets, obviously, but I'm a big fan of monsters because I've always loved monsters.
Yeah.
DC has well. So it was just one of those things like, what do we do with a pet shop that's a little different? And we're like, why don't we make it a pet shop for monsters? And we're like, obviously it's a kid's book. We don't want the monsters to be scary or anything, naturally. But that did kind of end up coming into the theme of the book, too. We're like, well, that's interesting because a pet shop for monsters, it does sound scary. And then if you had to visit that shop, would that be something you'd be afraid of? But then once you actually get there, the monsters are actually very lovable and fun. And, you know, they're unique and they're different. So I guess that's the point, is kind of jumping into something you don't expect or don't understand. But once you walk away from it, there's actually something
there's
fun to be had here.
So target age is younger kids, which kind of surprises me in one sense. I mean, it makes total sense with the title of the book and everything else.
Yeah.
Why gear it towards younger kids? Why not big kids?
That's a great question.
For me, it was definitely, again, more of this pandemic thing. It was like, with all these kids that don't have school, they don't have a place to go and get literature, they don't have a teacher reading to them. And it's, you know, for me, it was like, let's make something for all those kids who might potentially get lost in this
mess
that's happening right now. And that was it for me. It's like, let's make something for them. Let's go younger. Let's make it for for younger kids that don't necessarily have recess to go out to anymore.
Sure.
They can't go and hang out with a play date at the park with their friend, even is like almost like, you know, forbidden in a way now. So it's like, I wanted to, you know, for me and Zach, we talked about it, like, let's make something for these guys, you know, let's make something for the little ones so they have something to, like, you know, wake up and, you know, read a book, and they get a smile for 5 minutes of their day. You know?
And I think it was just one of those kind of broad strokes of, like, I grew up loving monsters like Pokemon and stuff, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always thought, like, even as a kid, like, monsters didn't really scare me, and I think there is a place for them to be fun. Obviously, there's a scary version of monsters, but if you actually read, like, if you read the book, all of them, like you said, are very, like, cute and cuddly, and I really don't think there's a kid that could be scared of them, but maybe, I don't know.
But, you know, that's such a...
They're nice scare-proof.
To me, it's got a broad appeal. When I saw that you guys put this together, I told Katie, I said, we got to get them on the show, because this is such a great concept, and it's looking at other people and saying, there's a need here, you know? And it says something about you guys. You're sensitive to needs. Obviously, you have sisters, family members. But this whole thing of being able to say, I want to do something to help somebody out. What was the process like for both of you? I mean, being an author, okay, I have co-authored a couple books with someone. And I kind of get the process. Now, they weren't monster books. It wasn't cuddly little things. But how did that work for you guys?
Well, the process, I mean, that was insane. Because as you said, we've done acting, we've done a lot of stuff in the film business and writing as well for that. But this was something totally new. It was something we wanted to do and wanted to try. And when you hear, oh, we wrote a kid's book, it sounds like a very simple task. It sounds incredibly easy. It's like, oh, okay, you know, I'll make some rhymes and that'll be that, you know. But the writing, I mean, we had a lot of fun doing it, but to be fair, the writing was pretty smooth. It was an idea that we had, and it kind of just flowed because, you know, we'd had it for quite a while. But the process of getting it made into book was just insane.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it was sitting down and you know, it was spitballing rhymes for hours, you know, and with some kind of a structure at some point, to make, you know, these rhymes kind of mesh, you know, and work and flow.
And I've written for some, like, film and TV. So a lot of the structure points, like, I'll bring in and be like, okay, I know at this point we need to, obviously there's got to be an introduction. There's got to be a bit of a problem. And for us, the problem, kid who comes into a monster shop just looking for a normal pet, that's an immediate setup for, like, okay, that's going to cause some problems. And then it's like, where does that go? But it has to be fun. And so right off the bat, we knew we wanted to show off all these fun monsters that regardless kids were going to gravitate towards. And, you know, and the rhyming pattern definitely gets you involved. But then quickly you're like, oh, yeah, this kid is kind of – he's a little afraid of this. He doesn't know what to expect. He's a little out of his element. And then eventually later, obviously, you had to bring in, okay, there's got to be a down moment. And then there's got to be something that uplifts. And there is a bit of a twist at the end too. So all the structure stuff, I think we both understood already. So it wasn't too inhibited. Like, it was a simple – it was a fun process. And we could be really with it because we already kind of knew, I guess, the pattern we wanted to take it. But everything else, like he said, was just spitballing, having a blast, coming up with
fun. Well, you want it to be that way. Did you test it kind of with some kids just to see how they were responding?
Yeah, the test went terrible, Steve. No, I'm kidding. No, honestly, we didn't really test much at all. Really?
Okay, yeah.
We didn't do much of a testing process. It was more
for us. It was one of those like kind of like a best kept secret for a while. People knew we were working on something, but we didn't really want to talk about it till it was like ready to go. And then once we got the art back, then we started showing some people, and we were pretty surprised by the response. Some things we thought were going to go well actually went even far better with people than we thought.
Cool.
Like, we've gotten a lot of, you know, feedback. People saying it's a great like learning experience. There's numbers, there's shapes, there's colors. There's good, like it teaches children about emotions. Teaches, you know, some other like personal things about, you know, being open-minded. So it really well when we actually did show it to people. But oddly enough, no, we didn't really do any testing before we made it. So
cool that not only is it something to kind of occupy their time, like you said, DC, bring a smile on their face in the morning, have some fun, monster pet shop, but some life lessons.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Is really nice how, I mean, that's totally cool how you've kind of woven that into the book.
Thank you, yeah.
Right, and I've always been a thing where it's like, I don't want to, like, push a lesson. I'd rather have it be fun, and then if we can incorporate a lesson, Like, yeah. that's cool with me, you know? Like, that's how I want to do it. Because at the end of the day, like, if you're reading a book, you want to smile. You want to laugh. You want to be like, wow, this is cool. The art's cool. This is interesting, you know? And then there's, like, a lesson with that. That's, for me, like, you know, a big part of it is, you know, there's a little bit of a truth kind of hidden within.
If your audience can come to the conclusion themselves, it's that much better.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's get back to the process. You've got the it's illustrated, and the colors, and you've got the spitball rhymes. I mean, it's the cute, cuddly little monsters. Publishers are banging down your door, right?
Oh, just knocking them down.
Having to get, like, some kind of security, you know, more than you already have to keep them kind of at bay and back, right?
Yeah.
I wish that were true.
Yeah.
No security was required for this book. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, the process in itself was like, okay, this is complicated at the start, I guess. I mean, but it was fun. We were having a great time. And then once it was complete, we're like, okay, this is not too bad. We created something that we really enjoy. Yeah. We had to reach out. We found an illustrator to do it who did an absolutely amazing job, Nathan Moncayo. And that was a good 3-month process, like sending notes to him.
Okay.
Basically, kind of full outline of what we wanted.
Yeah, what we did for that was essentially we write a lot of animation stuff on the side as well. If we're exploring, you know, TV show ideas and stuff all the time. So what we essentially did for the book was we just took that knowledge and we were like, okay, what we'll do is we'll essentially storyboard
what we
the
want.
Entire book, and then that way all you got to do is draw the images and just plug them in. So. For him, he didn't have to, like, design page layout or anything like that. We kind of...
We had it already figured out.
Kind of figured that out on our end. But, you know, that's something, again, that we chose to do because we also chose to self-publish, which was, you know, we had the opportunity to submit to publishing houses, but we felt, you know, with our you know, reach and our, you know...
Background.
Our
what background, we could bring to the table.
You know...
Yeah, I was just saying, that shouldn't be a big deal for you guys with everything.
Yeah, we were like, let's just self-publish and see what it can do on its own, and then, you know...
It's something we could always talk about in the future, but...
Yeah.
Also, one of the main things, too, is we knew that if we were going to get with a publisher, it was going to take a long time, no matter what. Submitting to the publisher takes months and months and months for them to even get back, honestly. And then also, that was going to kind of blow our window of when we want to get the book out with everything going on, because, like DC said, part of it was we wanted to get out to people,
have
things to read
for the kids right now.
Yeah.
When this thing is happening.
Yeah.
Let's go back to something real quick, just for our audience sake.
Yeah.
Those that don't, what is a storyboard? I mean, we know what it is because of stuff we do and all. But for somebody out there saying, "Hey, what is a storyboard?"
Yeah, storyboard. I mean, there's different versions of a storyboard, so I'll explain what ours is, and then I'll explain kind of more generally. For ours, we didn't necessarily draw the art. Like, we had very basic drawings, and neither of us draw. I'll just say that. We're not, you know, we're not really artists in that
stick
sense.
Stick figures.
I resent that.
We had pretty simple drawings, what we expected. Like, we want this monster here, so we'd have some version of that drawing. And then we'd have, you know, this is the placement of this character where we want them. This is where the text is going to go. So we had a whole document that laid all of that out, and that was kind of our storyboard.
Okay.
So then included with that, we had reference images, so art that we did find. They were like, this is kind of what this character, like, we want them to look like. We'd send a few different images, like, this is kind of an amalgamation. Like, you know, we want this kid to look like a combination of this character from the movie Up mixed with this character from this other film. Like, so we did all that, and, you know, naturally you never know what the artist is going to do with that. So there is a little bit of faith there and a little bit of hope that it comes out, you know, the way you're expecting, which for this, he did a fantastic job. In terms of other storyboards, when you talk about that for, like, animation or cartoons, usually the storyboard is actually the entire drawing of something by an artist that then they can later, you know, turn into the finished product. So it is rougher, you know, it's more of a sketch. So, like, if you watch, like, an early Disney film, they would have a storyboard that's just all of the characters and all of the art, but in a very simplistic sketch.
Cool. But you put these pieces together, okay, from kind of the time that when you really started working on it till the time you were able to release it, how long was that process?
We started really working on it in May, correct?
I think a little earlier, like March.
Yeah, that's true, because we had the concept in March, and then all of this really blew up and took over in closer to April, May, and then we're like, yeah, honestly, now's the time to do this.
Yeah.
And then the book didn't get released till August, right, or the very end of July. No, early August. So that was, I mean, it was quite a turnaround. And a lot of that turnaround was, you know, again, getting the art. But
waiting on art.
And even more than that, it was submitting to just different companies that we had. Like, even though we didn't go through a publisher, we had to go through multiple other companies to get an ISBN number. We had to get a Library of Congress number, get it approved by Amazon for their
copyright office.
We had to go to the copyright office. We had to get the printing approved through this other company called Ingram Spark, who did our hard covers. And then we had to get it approved through Amazon, who did our paperbacks and our Kindle. And we had to make different versions for each of those. So it's just a very time consuming process when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And crazy thing, at first we thought we were only going to be able to do an ebook of it for Kindle and other ebook readers, and then when we just dove head first and we're like, you know what, let's check out the entire process to make a paperback and a hardcover. And at first we're like, this doesn't sound too hard. And then we're like, okay, right. this is way more intensive than we expected.
A lot of it too, like, we had to learn a program called Adobe Illustrator. In order to submit to these companies, they require certain file sizes and certain file formats. So we literally had to go into Illustrator, and which is essentially kind of like an advanced Photoshop program.
And I already knew Photoshop because I had to do that as well for some.
We had to essentially reformat the book and the sizing of the files and everything so they could print it. Lines up and everything. So that was definitely a learning process, because that's something that I've never really explored before. So
that's pretty crazy.
People don't realize, I think, you know, the process. I have friends all the time, hey Russo, you know, you wrote a book, or you got a few books out or whatever, man, that, you know, that's cake. I'm gonna do that. I'm going, hey, be my guest.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Guys talking. You know what amazes me is you did it in really a very short amount of time. I mean, you had to be pulling out all the stops to get this thing to happen as quick as you did.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, because when I would talk to friends and, like, family and stuff, they'd be like, so what have you been working on? And, like, for months, I would just keep saying the book, and they'd be like, aren't you done with it? Like, what else could you possibly be doing? Like, how many pages is this book? It's very short. Yeah. It's only, yeah, like 28 pages. But yeah, it is pretty crazy just the amount that goes into it. Yeah, people, I mean, it's not a disc, but yeah, a lot of people just don't know. And we didn't know either when the process started.
The pictures I've seen, I mean, it just looks great, and little things like that and all. When somebody gets your book or has it read to them, what is it that you guys, that would give you that aha experience where you say, you know what, this is what we really want somebody to get out of the book, Mandy's Pet Shop, a pet shop for monsters. That this is the core. This is what we want, the takeaway, if you will have it. What is it?
I mean, there's a few things, and greatly enough, we've gotten them so far, which is just fantastic.
Oh, nice.
That's great.
I think my favorite things that people say is, one of them is when I get people who read the book or was read to them, etc., like you said, is when they're like, oh, my kid, or like, I love this specific monster. Like, I absolutely love this monster. Like, I've gotten people like, oh, like, Blibby the Bean is my favorite monster, or like, the cat with nine eyes is my favorite monster. You know, people will have their own monsters that they really enjoy, which I think is a lot of fun. Or there's been people that have been like, oh, I really like the rhyming. I love the use of, like, the text and the colors. It reminds me of Dr. Seuss. So anytime someone says that, that definitely tugs
them. Oh, yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, for me, the core message, which is just for kids. You know, if a kid could maybe go into a situation where they wouldn't have before and, you know, look at it a little differently and keep an open mind, you know, that's the reward for me is, like, you know, if one little kid can go out and, you know, maybe make a friend that they never thought they would have made just because of how it looked or how it seemed on the outside, to me, that's a big deal. You know, that's affecting someone at an age where their brain is still changing so much. And I think it's important. I really do think that's an important thing in today's society.
Yeah, no question about it. It everything you're saying encourages me, because it's all about helping. I know for us, I mean, this show is geared for young adults, and we want to motivate them and help them, and for you guys to take it another step, you know, and yet it's going to affect so many, because I could see a younger brother reading this to his little sister, or a mom, or a dad, or a grandma, or a grandpa. I mean, it's just, and to get the affirmation you're getting is just huge. You know, I'm excited to see what happens with it, because, I mean, it's just such a great concept. What's next for you guys with this? I mean, will there be a series of monster toys, these cute little things, and I'll volunteer to be a voice, okay, for one of them, you know. But no, seriously, what's next? Is it going to be a series, or you may not want, I mean, you may have to kill me if you tell me kind of thing. So have you thought about it at all? Is it just too soon just to know, or?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the big things, we definitely want to keep it going as a book series if we can. I mean, and that really depends on, you know, how well it is received. And the response, again, so far has been fantastic. So if it does continue to do well, then that's something we want to do. We want to make more books. I mean, we have had a lot of people ask us about toys, about like, monsters.
And we were like, well, you know, I mean, eventually, you know, I didn't know what to really tell them, but yeah, you know, we've gotten a lot of comments. We did a little animatic on YouTube. It has no words, but it's like a read-along. And we had a bunch of other actor friends and pals of ours do voices for it. And we got a lot of comments on there saying, you know, people, are you guys going to do this? Are you guys going to turn this into a TV show? We'd love to see it, like a cartoon version of this or something. So We kind of talked about that, and we are in the
film market. You know, we've sold shows and stuff before, so it wasn't our goal making this, but you know, it's something that I feel like
it could potentially be a good adaptation. So we're definitely looking at that. Again, we wanted to make sure this all goes, you know, smoothly and make sure this gets out first and gets to where it needs to be, and then, you know, potentially there is, you know, a decent chance we're going to at least write some treatments or scripts based off of this for kids. And it would definitely be a show for juveniles. We wouldn't take it up an age range or anything like that. It would stay in that kind of 2 to 7 year
old range.
No, it'd be perfect. Keep us informed, by the way. Okay. I mean, let us know, because we want to come back to you, get you back on the show, let people know what's going on, you know, follow you, all that kind of stuff. So keep us informed on that. Something that begs for us to ask you, because it's a core value of UTalk, is going mad. Katie, what does that mean when we go mad?
We'd like to yell and scream. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. It's different on our show and in the world, and like to see people making a difference in the world. And it sounds like you guys wrote this book, you know, in a time of need and to help people. And
you're making
a difference with it.
Yeah.
And what's one thing all of us can do to make a difference?
Especially now in the midst of the pandemic and, you know, all the other things going on around.
I think for me, the biggest thing, going mad, right, would be I think we all just need to be open to having conversations. I mean, genuinely listening to someone who has a different opinion than you, and not putting your opinion on them, but just listening, just hearing what they have to say and trying to understand a different point of view, even for just 5 minutes, just keeping an open mind and trying to take in what someone is saying. If they think differently or they feel differently about a situation, whatever that situation may be, but just hearing them out, you know, hearing their side of the situation. I think we've gotten a little convoluted in the way things are set up, where no one wants to listen to anyone anymore. And that's a problem. That's a big problem, because at the end of the day, we're still
learning.
We're all still people. We're all the same. We're all people.
Yeah.
Even for me, sometimes when you hear that message, you know, your automatic response is like, oh yeah, like if only those people would listen. Even when you hear that. But really, it starts with us. It starts with ourselves. And I have to do that all the time. Like, I usually, when I'm having an open conversation, you want to be the person that's like, hey, like, but here's my opinion. And, you know, and you kind of just pigeonhole that in. But really, you're not taking anything away from that if that's all you're doing. You really do have to step back. I'm not going to learn anything from this if I'm not at least willing to listen and hear your opinion and really hear it, you know.
I actually went to interview some people at a protest not far from where our office is. And all young adults, and I went with the specific purpose, and I recorded it, had my little HD recorder, of listening and learning. And I told that up front. I for me, it was, you know, it was a major achievement, because I didn't talk very much. I just asked questions and listened. I didn't give my opinion. I wasn't there to do it. And Zach, you're talking about learning like that. I think that's an imperative for each one of us. We should be lifelong learners. I remember my first drum teacher. I taught myself, and a junior in high school, and I got to study with the number one drummer in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I remember him telling me, Steve, learn something from every single drummer you hear. I took that and expanded it to learn something all the time, you know? So that's such solid stuff, guys. I mean, to listen with careful attention and step back and learn, in a sense, who can you learn from and what can you learn from, and leave that room, you know, as you said, Zach, for God to speak in and say, here, let's show you some things. And man, that's powerful. You know, I don't think changing the world is rocket science. And I think if everybody were to take the two things you guys shared and start to practice them, our world would be a different place.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
We got to practice them too.
We do. It's true.
There's so much to learn, and we can learn so much from each other. You know, I appreciate you guys taking the time tonight. It's been a great time to be with you and learned a lot. Love the project very, very much. How is it that people, number one, give us again the forms that the book is in and where can they go to get it?
Absolutely. We have paperbacks, we have hardcovers, and we have ebooks or Kindle readers. So those are the three different versions. And you can find them on Amazon if you just type in Mandy's Pet Shop, A Pet Shop for Monsters. Or there's also our website, which is just mandyspetshop.com. You got to put the HTTP in front of it, but it's pretty simple, just mandyspetshop.com. We have all the links there. We've got the different links to Amazon, to Barnes & Noble. It's on both of those. It's on a lot of other sites as well, but those are the two big ones that we, you know, keep sending people to. And then also you can follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is just Mandy's Pet Shop Books. And then we've got a Twitter, we've got Facebook, just Mandy's Pet Shop, all that good stuff.
By the way, we're going to put all of this, you know, in our web blog and other places for our audience to be, because, you know, we want to see people grab a hold of this book. I think it's a powerful tool. I think it's, you know, there's teachable stuff there. It's fun stuff. I mean, who can't love a lovable monster? I mean, come on, you know. If you can't love a lovable monster, there's something wrong with you, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for having me.
This is U Talk Radio.